Hey guys, Editing Emery here. I was kind of a derp and forgot to put this into the episode. So just so you know, this is a trigger warning in case you get triggered by the mention of suicide and child molestation in brides. Because those are kind of really big things. Here's your warning. Thanks for sticking around. Bye. Welcome back to 3 Spoopy 5 Me. Today I have a special guest, as in like the first guest outside of my realm of friends. New friends now.
We're enemies.
Enemies. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Rachel. I met Emery through our mutual friend, Britta, and I like spooky stuff, and so I insisted to be here, and here I am.
She's like, let me on, I need to come here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hesitate because I'm lonely. Let's branch out. So the format is usually we do spooky stuff first, true crime next, or conspiracy theories as per the last podcast. We're introducing that slowly because mm-hmm. Titanic, was it a crime? I don't know.
The jury's still out.
Jury's still out. Over 100 years later, it's still out. But that's usually how it goes. Mm-hmm. So, for our first subject today, we have the Pythian Castle.
Oh, nice. Have you ever gone on one of their ghost tours?
I have gone on many of their ghost tours. For those of you who don't know, we are based out of Springfield, Missouri. Pythian Castle is like the local haunt. Literal haunt. I've had both my proms there. I've been there four or five times for because they have ghost tours, not ghost hunts, but they do have ghost hunts too. But it's really awesome. I just like the history of it. They have history tours as well. It's open year round. It's getting to be that time of year where you have to go on a ghost tour.
I've never been to an event there, but I've been on the ghost tour there. We can talk more about that. I'll interject my stories as we go.
Oh yes, feel free to do that. The more the merrier. So for a little background of the Pythian Castle, it's called the Pythian Home of Missouri, also known as Pythian Castle. It was built in 1913 by the Knights of Pythian, or Pythias.
And they're like a secret society, like the Masons, right?
It was like an offshoot of the Masons. I don't know. It's all boys club stuff, and I'm just like, I don't care. Y'all are weird. You do nothing for me. But it was also later owned by the military, and it's still next to the National Guard base here in town. It was actually connected for a while because there's that underground tunnel from the Pythian to the actual U.S. National Guard base, where my brother goes a lot because he's National Guard and so is his wife.
Have you ever asked your brother if the National Guard has a plan for an alien attack?
I have not. It never occurred to me.
My friend, her dad is in the National Guard, and so she asked him, and she's like, okay, like, you guys have a plan for everything. And he was like, yeah, but I can't tell you about it.
Oh my God. I gotta ask that now. Yeah. Well, his wife just got back from Kuwait a few months ago, and he's been to Afghanistan twice because he was in the army before the National Guard. So I'm like, I'm trying to pick my time to find out more information, see if there's stories. More along the spoopy lines because it gets a bit tedious and a little bit rough when you're like, oh, how'd you deal with this? And
it's like, when it gets a little too close to home.
Too real. And it's like, let's think of nonsense things.
Like
it sounds better. Aliens. Exactly. And they're Catholic, too, which cracks me up. Because we didn't grow up Catholic. We grew up Methodist. So both of my brothers are Catholic now.
Interesting.
I'm like, I don't know how you did this, but it feels coordinated somehow. So back to the Pythian.
Yeah, sorry.
Back to the hand.
To what subject is it? Subject to hand.
It was also for where they held German and Italian prisoners of war during World War II for medical treatment and as laborers. Mm-hmm. So they had people from Auschwitz there, like mm-hmm. officers and stuff. And when you go into the, it's in the basement area, in the first part of the basement area. And they have that weird, like, bouncy area. Like, have you, do you remember that?
I don't remember the bouncy area. I do remember going down in the basement and, like, it's like this, like, kind of, you're in a room that has, like, all exposed brick walls. And they mm-hmm. talked about holding the prisoners of war in there.
Yeah.
And that was the creepy, and then, like, they closed the door and turn off the lights. That was the creepiest room to me when I went on the tour there.
The creepiest room was the tunnel for me.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. the first time I didn't go because I was freaked out because mm-hmm. I don't do close quarters very well. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people in our tour group.
Mm-hmm.
The second time and third and fourth time I went because there wasn't as many people.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, I decided, I'll go first. I'll be brave. It'll yeah. be awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why did I do this? What did I do? And the first time I went in, we walked all the way there. I'm like, okay, this is cool. Whatever. It's not too bad. But a friend of mine, her story came back to mind. She had been to the Pythian before. You're fine. You're absolutely fine. If you can hear it, it's Emily crying for attention.
Emily's a cat, not a human baby.
She thinks she is sometimes, I feel. But she's like, on the way back from the tunnel, my friend and I heard footsteps behind us. Because mm-hmm. In the tunnel, you can't go forward and turn around. You have to go forward, stop, physically turn in a circle 180 degrees, and go back and wait for the person behind you is now in front of you. She's like, I felt someone behind me kick my heels and walk behind me. I'm like, that's terrifying. And that came to mind as I'm in this tunnel, about to turn around and walk back. I'm like, why did I do this to myself? I did nearly wet myself, and I screamed in the tunnel because what had happened was we were walking back about halfway there. Me and a few others had seen this, I don't know, it was like about waist-high white figure thing just rush mm-hmm. past us.
Mm-hmm.
And I screamed, and they're like, you saw it too! I'm like, yeah! Because to kind of paint the picture for you, the tunnel is the same tunnel that goes to the U.S. Armory. It is very narrow. It's about one person wide. It has a giant pipe. I was like, mm-hmm. pole, that's not the word. Pipe, about head height. So if you're taller than about 5'5", 5'7", you're going to have to duck a bit. But then there's metal bars under that to help hold it up that go down to about your waist. So there's only so much space. That's why you have to turn around, turn around and not go in a circle or anything like conga line style.
They make you conga.
They do make you conga, but you can't do like the little turn around, loop de loop. You got to go. Stop, wait a minute, turn around. And that's just the tunnel. This
mm-hmm.
this is like an entire castle. It's called a castle for a reason. Because it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It was finally listed on the U.S. National Register of Historic Places on October 7th in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now a historical site. It can't be torn down. It can't be really renovated too much, which is kind of mm-hmm. really cool and kind of really neat, because a lot mm-hmm. of buildings, especially here in Springfield, kind of get that treatment, especially on the square area. Uh-huh. This is not that far, but far enough from the square.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's like in the middle of a residential area.
It is kind of weird, yeah. It's like you're just driving, you feel like you're just driving through a neighborhood, and all of a sudden there's this, like, green hill with a castle-like structure on it.
Yeah, out of nowhere. Yeah. I was like, where did this come from? I don't know, but I'm here for the aesthetic. And Britta used to live across from it, too.
Oh, yeah? I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, I used to see lights in there sometimes. I'm like,
yeah, you did.
Is either tours or Spoops. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't want to think about it. I'm just going to go back to bed. Because Pythia's an old street, too. Mm-hmm. It's got a bunch of other stuff on it as well. But it's constructed out of Carthage stone. It's a hard variety of limestone commonly quarried in the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. So, again, we're in the Ozarks. They're using locally grown quarry stuff.
Farm to table.
Farm
limestone.
To table. Stone to castle. You know, the stone same thing. It's the interior's constructed mostly of steel framework and poured concrete floors, ceilings, and stairways. So a lot of the stairs aren't, like, the fancy wood. It's actual concrete. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to live here. Because in the tours, you go up to the top floor, you go down to the bottom. There's other places in there. Like I said, I had my prom there, so there's, like, a staged area. Mm-hmm. And then they have...
like a ballroom kind of area.
The ballroom area, that's what it was. Where they also had the World War II, like, dances and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, hey, Captain America, awesome. That, of course, mm-hmm. that's what I thought of, because mm-hmm. that's what I do. the interior walls are consisted of a layered hollow core pyrobar blocks. It's a gypsum-based fireproofing material developed in the early 1900s. So it can't really catch on fire. Mm-hmm. Which probably would have saved Ha Ha Tonka. If you haven't heard of Ha Ha Tonka Castle, it's H-A space H-A Tonka, like the truck, castle. You need to look it up. It's pretty cool. I don't think there's anything really spooky or haunted about it. I think it's just a really cool piece of history.
I think it's like, is it a state park now?
Yes, mm-hmm. it's a state park. And I think they closed off the actual castle because a lot of it's still falling in. Mm-hmm.
Or because it's so haunted.
Or because it's so haunted. I hope it's haunted.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, that'd be so much cooler. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's just falling apart. We'll put it back together. We have super glue. It's fine. It's fine. The original main floor features a grand foyer, meeting room, ballroom, dining hall, and sitting parlors. Currently, as far as I know, the owner actually has a couple of whippets, mm-hmm. whippet dogs, and there's a bunch of portraits and stuff around in the front, in the sitting parlors and everything. When I first saw them, I was like, oh, that's a pretty dog. And then I saw the portraits, I'm like, that's a ghost dog. Yeah. Because they suddenly disappeared. Mm-hmm. Turns out, dogs can roam on their free will.
The picture I remember seeing, have you ever seen any of Julie Blackman's photography?
I think so.
She's a local photographer, and she does, like, really large scale. For those of you listening, I'm holding out my arms really far. she does, like, really large scale photography, and she kind of, like, she took a picture of, like, a little girl in, like, a ball gown sort of dress standing on the, like, main foyer stairs. And she did it for the creepy aesthetic, because it's, like, all, like, dark, shadowy stairs, and then, like, little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Little creepy girl. Like, there's that picture in there that was taken at the Pythian.
It's not lit brightly for the main parts. Usually, if there's, like, an event there, I know another friend of mine had her wedding there. Because they do catering events like that. Like, they do weddings, proms, dances, reunions, things like that. Mm-hmm. They have murder mystery shows, too. Mm. It's a really cool place.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just want to live there. Mm-hmm. Is that cool? Stay in my room, Spooks. Mm-hmm. Alright, and then on the second floor, which is accessed by dual staircases on either wall, so you walk in, it's a little Harry Potter-like.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in, there's choose your staircase, it all goes to the same place. They'll usually lead you up one staircase, go around the second floor, and then go down the other staircase. Mm-hmm. It has a theater with original ticket booth, seats, an upper projection and light room, as well as changing rooms backstage. The building also features a full basement. The powerhouse was located directly behind the main building and housed the boiler as well as the institution's laundry facilities. I'm saying institution because it was a lot of things throughout history. And it's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And as we get into that history, you'll find out why it's so haunted. Which is really weird and slightly terrifying, but also at the same time, I need to live there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a little backstory on the Knights of Pythias. They're similar to the Masons, or I guess there's only the Masons, or the Knights of Templar that turned into the Masons.
There's the Oddfellows.
The Oddfellows?
Yeah.
Explain.
So, the Oddfellows, back in the day, it was based on your profession. Like, the Masons were builders and Masons. And mm-hmm. then, like, the Knights were people who had a military background. And the Oddfellows were, like, pretty much everybody else. And they're like, well, we want to have a cool, creepy group or secret group. But they were called the Oddfellows because it was just a mix of whatever your profession was mm-hmm. that it wasn't a famous enough profession to have its own deal. So they created their own secret society.
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now I need my own secret society.
Mm-hmm.
You can't know what it is because it's a secret now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you later probably because I'm lonely. Help me.
Well, you need people to be in the secret society with you.
It's a secret society, but it's only me.
It's so secret.
It's a secret. So they were Knights of Pythias were a fraternal organization. Originally constructed the castle and detached the power plant as a retirement home for needy members of the order and their widows and children. It was called the Pythian Home of Missouri. Springfield was one of seven cities competing for the construction of the Pythian Home and sold 53 acres of land to the Knights for $1 in 1909. It served as a meeting hall for the order and served in this capacity until 1942. $1 for 53 acres? Sign me up.
I think, so yeah.
But it is probably like $100 in 1900.
That's still a great deal.
I don't mm-hmm. know how to gauge money. It's just like, here, mm-hmm. take it.
Yeah. And that was in 1909 when they got the land, and then they built it in 1913?
Yes.
Yeah. So that wasn't too long after Springfield was incorporated, because we were like 1880s, I think. So they were like, gotta build a city, gotta build a castle.
Gotta build a city, gotta build a castle,
mm-hmm.
gotta build things.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, go on.
So in 1942, during World War II, the United States military commandeered the facility for use in conjunction with the adjacent O'Reilly General Hospital. I think that's now the O'Reilly Center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm guessing here. I'm going off O'Reilly Center, O'Reilly Hospital must be connected.
And it's the O'Reilly's of the auto part.
Yeah.
Monopoly.
That fun part. But that's kind of where that is. Mm-hmm. And in entertaining, I just lost everything right there. So in adjacent to the hospital, mm-hmm. in entertaining and rehabilitating injured U.S. troops, it was renamed the Enlisted Men's Service Club. Okay. That sounds kind of not responsible. But it sounds like it should be almost in Las Vegas.
The Enlisted Men's Service Club. Like happy endings.
Exactly. The facility featured a movie theater, ballroom, bowling alley, pool hall, library, arts and crafts area. I understand it can be good for people uh-huh. who are going through trauma to do arts and crafts, but after all that, like a mm-hmm. pool hall, bowling alley, yeah. arts and crafts.
Well, okay, these are guys who had been injured, like it was like mm-hmm. a convalescence sort of home.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I'm sorry, honey, I can't come home yet, I'm too weak. But you're like, living it up at the bowling alley and in the arts and crafts area.
Give me that glitter.
Yeah.
And then you know you're going to get in trouble for that glitter, but it's worth mm-hmm. it. Some of the famous movie stars, comedians, and entertainers of the area performed in the theater while the ballroom was host to big bands playing for the dance for the dancing pleasure of the troops.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's weird. After the war, the building was retained by the military for use as a reserve center until it was sold as surplus in 1993. Also, they had, like I said, the POWs from German troops and Italian troops. But mm-hmm. they also had it was kind of a weird thing, but very but very much what was part of the time, a Japanese internee. Best way to put it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't under arrest, but because he was Japanese and it's World War II, he had to stay there.
Yeah, because we don't have, like, an internment camp here, but I guess... No.
Like,
Pythian Castle just turned into a catch-all.
Yeah, basically. But he was the cook, and they're like, okay, you're kind of cool, you're not really doing anything wrong, and you cook really good food. Mm-hmm. He had his own little cell area. It was a cell because it had an iron door and everything. Mm-hmm. You can still go into it and see his room. It was super tiny. Mm-hmm. It was, like, barely the size of my bathroom, and my bathroom's tiny. But they gave him paints as well.
From the Arts and Crafts Studio.
Full circle. But he would paint, he painted different stuff. He painted his room orange. They let you go into that room now. Okay. And he had, like, the Japanese sunrise and such. Mm-hmm. Computer, do not! Rude and unnecessary. I don't need to restart it. Go away. And, like I said, they had Auschwitz there as well. Not Auschwitz. They had officers from Auschwitz there as well, mm-hmm. as POWs. And
that was crazy to me when I went on my tour there, because I was, and I still don't know the answer, but I was like, okay, prisoners of war, how did they get to Springfield, Missouri? Like, we're, like, in pretty much the center of the continental United States.
Exactly.
So they had to, like, bring them not only over from Germany and Europe.
Boat or plane, yeah. Probably by boat.
Yeah, and then they don't, like, keep them in a coastal town, like one of the first towns you'd land on. Then you still move them, like, however many hundred miles inward to hold them in Springfield, Missouri.
It's like 1,000 miles either way from Missouri, because we are the Midwest.
Literally the middle, yeah.
Literally in the middle of the north, south, east, west. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's my still lingering question, is, like, how did they end up in the middle of the continental U.S. as a prisoner of war?
Well, I know, like, we have the federal hospital here, too.
We do have that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what time that was put in, but I'm pretty sure it was about the same time, so that may be the reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know we had, was it Al Capone?
Yeah, he died there.
Mm-hmm. Al Capone, and we had John Gotti for a little bit, and then we had the Alcatraz Birdman.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, Springfield's where they send famous prisoners to die.
Basically, but, like, it's because there's, I'm like, why are you sending Alcatraz here, John Gotti? Where are these other people?
Yeah.
Apparently there's not a lot of federal hospitals for federal inmates, and I'm like, that's weird. Please stop. We don't want them. Because at one point, I was talking to Britta about, she's like, the Italian mob tried to get a foothold in Springfield. I'm like,
I believe it.
Uh-huh. Good luck. You try and do that. We're a bunch of rednecks that don't know nothing.
Yeah.
You threaten us, we'll be like, okay, bless your heart, you go on your way. What just happened?
Yeah. There's a lot of meth heads. Maybe if the Italian mob was more, less, like, the Italian mob in my head, in the stereotype in my head, is, like, a very classy group of people. Whereas, like, our meth head mob would not, they wouldn't assimilate well.
We don't even have a meth head mob. It's just, like, individual people, because they're just too paranoid to work together.
They wouldn't even come together as a mafia mob.
Just so you know, I had a friend from California in college who told me that her parents were worried that she moved here because the area code 417 is also a name for meth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they were worried. And I'm like, I didn't know that, but now I know we're famous for something.
Yep, that's
not just Brad Pitt or John Goodman or Bob Barker. Meth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I pushed a button. It's fine. This is what happens when you try to be a professional and you're not really professional. So, nowadays, the Pythian Castle is owned by Tamara Finocchiaro. We're gonna go.
I don't know that. Yeah, I don't
very
know.
Italian. Speaking of Italians, oh, conspiracy time.
Maybe they did take a foot. The mafia did take a foothold in Springfield after all.
No, haunted castle.
Yeah.
We deal in spoops.
Yeah. They found their angle here in Springfield.
That's how you get in. So, renovations had been completed to the property, including a new driveway and parking area, as of August 1st, 2010. The castle has been reopened to the public for use as cultural arts and event facility. It is available for special event rental, including weddings, proms, and corporate parties, and offers public events such as history tours, murder mystery tours, ghost tours, and holiday events. Mm-hmm. To add to the castle's identity, it was investigated by two television series. First one was Ghost Lab in 2011, and the second one was Ghost Adventures. Mm-hmm. As in Zach Baggins got them back dimples. Mm-hmm. Ghost Adventures.
So there is a lady locally who I met, because I'm part of a nonprofit that does filmmaking, mm-hmm. and we were interviewing a lady to be one of our film teachers, and she was a production assistant on Ghost Adventures.
Oh, that's so cool!
Yeah, but I was like, so wait a second. How did you work on Ghost Adventures when he specifically says every episode, with no big camera crew following me around? And yeah, and she was like, well, she was like, during the lockdown, it really is only them in the lockdown. But they do have a production crew that goes around and like films the spooky wind blowing through the trees and the empty walkways and stuff. So
I was like, that's a I figured that. I'm like, okay, yuck it up, Zach, whatever. Mm-hmm,
yeah. But there is a lady here in Springfield who was production assistant on Ghost Adventures.
I did watch that episode. It's demons.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Every episode they do, it's demons. Mm-hmm. Or witches. Mm-hmm. Witches that summon demons.
Demons that summon witches.
Demons that summon witches. Satanists. Mm-hmm. That apparently like to sacrifice animals or people. And I'm like, no, that's not... No. Take it as you will, mm-hmm. any ghost show, mm-hmm. take it with a grain of salt. They're going to amp it up and try to be entertaining, mm-hmm. more than factual.
What?
What? What?
You've shattered my reality of ghost shows.
Oh no, everything is false. Joke's on you, it is. We're all in a simulation, according to Elon Musk. In this article, they did leave out a lot. Like, it used to be part of OCAC. Mm-hmm. And they would have the women part of the WIC program come and get food there. You could use food stamps there. Basically, they had, it's like dry goods, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that that they could house there. And that was after it was an orphanage. Mm-hmm. And it was an orphanage after it was an old folks' home.
That orphanage, old folks' home, ripe for hauntings.
Let me tell you. The stories.
Yes.
Part of the history. When it was decommissioned in World War II, after it went through everything, it was purchased again to use as an old folks' home. And there were several suspicious deaths. There is one where a man had shot himself in the head. Mm-hmm. Suicide. There's like several, like three or four suicides mm-hmm. there. I'm like, well, this is it. I've seen how this ends in movies. Yeah. We are those dumb white people.
Welcome to Springfield.
Welcome to Springfield. But there was an elderly man who was terminal cancer. He's like, it's just gonna die anyway. Might as well do it on my own terms. Mm-hmm. I'm like, respectful. There was an older man whose wife had just passed away, who then passed away like 2 or 3 days after she had. And they're like, oh, he died of a broken heart. Turns out, he literally died of a broken heart. His heart muscles were not strong enough to keep going and they kind of fell apart.
Whoa.
So it was a literal broken yeah. heart. I'm like, okay, I'm digging this. There was another man who committed suicide in the showers by slitting his own throat. BTW, this is gonna get graphic. I'm gonna put that at the beginning. Mm-hmm. This is content gonna warning. Get graphic. Yeah. It's a lot of uncomfortable and trigger warnings. We need to do that. I'm going to mark that down now. But he did that in the showers, and then there was another elderly person who had fallen down the stairs when you go into the basement, mm-hmm. had fallen and hit his head and passed away down there. Uh-huh. And there's stories of people going into the basement, standing there, and then getting all spooked about before mm-hmm. they even know about it, and mm-hmm. be like, I don't like it, I'm getting off this step. I'm like, everyone has died there. Mm-hmm. Or they have died everywhere in that place. I'm not even gonna mm-hmm. try and not stand in a place where someone died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And then, so there's elderly spirits there, there's prisoner of war spirits there. Then come the children.
Orphans, no less.
Them orphans. There is a particular room on the second floor where they actually have toys. Or like balls, toy cars, building blocks, stuff like that. And there's this little boy spirit that comes around, and I've seen it do it, and I'm just like, I need to go sit outside for a bit. This ball, probably about the size, cantaloupe or so, mm-hmm. like one of those cheap dollar balls, rolling back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it's not like clear across, bouncing off walls or anything. It's mm-hmm. like a couple inches here, a couple inches there. Mm-hmm. We'd move it just to make sure. Mm-hmm. Another couple inches. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fun.
Yeah. Spoopy for sure.
You stay here. I'm going home. Because it's always that thing where people are like, be careful or they'll follow you home. Again, mm-hmm. ghost adventures, advertising, demons, is everything. Uh-huh. Gonna follow you home. Well, when you yell at it and call mm-hmm. it names, I follow you home too. Mm-hmm. Slap you upside the head, tell you what's what. Mm-hmm. So, what we also found out was during the orphanage time, there apparently were some caretakers, again, trigger warning, that were not the best.
Old-timey orphanage? No.
Yeah! It's a hard knock life for us. They were apparently abusive in certain ways. Mm-hmm. Again, this can't be confirmed because it was by a psychic. Or medium that said this. Again, always take mediums or psychics with a grain of salt when nothing can be proved. Mm-hmm. But she's like, oh, this little boy spirit doesn't like those other people. That they were talking about the caretakers at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. And on the first trip there, we left a phone recording in another room because it's like insane how big this place is. Mm-hmm. And then there's like all sorts of nook and cranny closet areas that are not closets but actual rooms, and I'm like, those should be closets.
It's probably because of the secret society stuff.
Secret societies.
Yeah, they had to do secret shit in the rooms.
We gotta have a secret meeting right now, but you're just talking about it right now. It's gonna be secret because you're not gonna be there. Yeah. You're not invited. Okay. But it was like this little closet area that was just part of the room. It didn't have a door or anything. It's just like this little alcove with a window. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The castle's all weird. Mm-hmm. Again, secret society. We had set a phone in there recording, and we walked out to the main part where the tour guide kind of told the story of the little boy and the parts of the orphanage and stuff. And they'll see little kids running around, but the little boy's most prominent in this room is the most prominent ghost that comes through in that room. We're like, okay, cool. Nothing really happened that first time around. And we go to leave, and we grab the phone. The phone has been moved about 6 inches to the left. Ooh. And turned. Mm-hmm. And we play back the recording, and you can hear it slowly scraping over. I'm like, ooh. I'm terrified, but also excited. I'm living my dream.
Yeah, your spoopy dream.
My spoopy dream, yeah. And that was all on the first one. Then we went, and then at the end, because the orphanage part is at the very end, they go back down, and then you're, like, free to kind of look around. They have all sorts of different stuff. Pictures of when it was being built, and pictures of the members of the Knights of Pythias, suits of armor. Mm-hmm. And, like, little play armor stuff, like mm-hmm. shields and wooden swords and stuff. I'm like, I could live here. Mm-hmm. This would be cool. Mm-hmm. But then I remember the ghosts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the first time I was there, I had a little digital recorder. Not a recorder, but a camera mm-hmm. that you couldn't do playback on and listen to it. You could just kind of film the little videos for a mm-hmm. couple of minutes before the SD card filled up and you had to change the AA batteries back in ye olden times.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah. I was in one of the POW rooms for the Germans. And I'm like, I don't know any German. Because mm-hmm. in my head, I'm like, why don't people just talk to the ghosts in their native language? Mm-hmm. Like, that makes more sense. Why does every ghost suddenly know English? Mm-hmm. Why is this a thing? So, the only German I know is Guten Tag. Mm-hmm. And so I just stand there and go, Guten Tag! And probably the worst German accent ever. Probably pronouncing it wrong, too. I don't know. But when we played it back, you can hear as if, like, someone is up against the mic. And it's like, what the actual? Nope! Mm-hmm. Yeet this camera out. You're of the devil. Goodbye.
So you love spoopy stuff, but you would not want to live in a place with ghosts.
Oh, I live in a place with ghosts. This place is haunted.
Oh, okay. So you...
Yeah. I'm just mm-hmm. over it, and it's like having ghost cats. I'm pretty sure they're ghost cats. My cabinet doors will open and close by themselves. Mm-hmm. 50-50, it's either the cat or the ghost.
Ghost cat.
Ghost cat. Because uh-huh. for those of you at home that don't know, Patricia, Patty, who I've now started calling Baba Yaga, because it fits, she opens the cabinets and mm-hmm. digs through them like a raccoon. Uh-huh. And then leaps off and leaves them open. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll yell at her and I'll go, get out of the cabinet! Mm-hmm. While I'm working. Yeah. I work from home. Mm-hmm. And I turn around and I'm like, get out of the cabinet! And I look down and both of them, both Emily and Patricia, are just mm-hmm. laying there next to me. I'm like, okay then. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I've heard someone mimic me yawning Ooh. In the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, shut up! I'm trying to work! Mm-hmm. It's just gotten to the point where I'm just like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
It's just a nuisance at this point in time.
Pay rent or leave.
Yeah, right. In this economy.
In this economy, everyone's paying their way. Yeah. Ghosts or not. Mm-hmm. But. Live in a spooky mm-hmm. place, I could probably do it. Mm-hmm. That seems a lot more intense than what I've experienced ever, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, one of the tour guides as well, Tim Pyland, who, mm-hmm. he's an active member of the community. I don't know where exactly I first ever saw him, but he's in everything.
Yeah, I know him too. Mm-hmm.
I was like, because he's one of the tour guides there mm-hmm. that was there my first time? Mm-hmm. Yes, first time. And he talked about having a dream where he was house sitting. Mm-hmm. I'll volunteer to house sit the Pythian. Hey.
Yeah.
He said that the owner, Tamara, had shown up while she was away, telling him the dogs are on the roof, go get them. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay. And he's like, why are they on the roof? And he gets up to go look. They're on the roof.
How'd they get on the roof?
An open window. Also, at the same time, dogs, you're not cats. You can't do that. Yeah. You're not graceful.
That's wild, though. Well, it sounds like a helpful-ish spirit, then, maybe.
At least it's not. Because there's one specific one. I can't remember his name. I want to call him Dennis. That also might be from the Angel Vampire series. The spinoff of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But he has a specific room because it was an old folks home. Mm-hmm. But it also was kind of, because it was back in the 50s and so on, mm-hmm. it was kind of a catch-all for people with mental disorders, yeah. mm-hmm. autism, mm-hmm. Mental retardation, things like mm-hmm. that.
Bored housewives. I feel like they'd be like, oh, she's hysteric, and she would be a housewife who's just like, I want to have a life, and they're like, send her away.
Send her away. And she's like, I did not want this kind of excitement in my life.
She wanted somewhere in between being a housewife all day and being put in an institution. But
I just wanted to go on a holiday.
Yeah.
He's like, yeet.
Yep. Yeeting their housewives.
Yeeting the housewives into the institutions. But he was apparently a person that, I don't know what to call them that live there. People that live there.
He was a person who wasn't elderly, but he was there because he was institutionalized.
Yes.
Sort of person.
Because he had a, it was like one of those lower IQs kind of thing. Like, oh, buddy, there's Bobby.
Yeah.
24-year-old grown-ass man, and they're going, how you doing, Bobby? Like, I'm an adult, but okay. He has his own specific room in the basement that is locked off because people said they had really harsh feelings in there. I'm like, it's a feeling? Okay.
Emery is making a very skeptical face right now.
Like, here's the thing. I believe in ghosts full-heartedly. I've seen stuff before I can't explain. But the feeling thing,
what do you think about, and maybe you're going to get into this because you were talking about, like, what it was built with, but what do you think about the stone tape theory?
I love that theory so much.
Because I think,
we were,
go ahead.
I was like, we were born. Missouri is, like, a giant bed of limestone. And limestone is said to be, like, very absorbent of energies and stuff like that. And I'm like, I believe it.
I mean, it's the same concept we use for cassette tapes. The reason they work is magnetism. And so it's the same thing. Like, if rocks have magnetic energy, they could record things and influence you. So sometimes when it's the feeling thing, I wonder if it's more that than an actual spirit. It's the reflection of the magnetic fields or whatever.
Yeah, because there's a lot of actual things with that, too, with hauntings, where you get, like, the sense of being watched or something. It's electrical outlets or, like, electrical appliances that aren't properly grounded or wired correctly. And they set off a residual magnetic energy that messes with your brain because science here, your brain runs on electricity.
Yeah.
And it messes with that. And it's like, I don't know what's happening. Must be psychic or something. I don't know.
I wonder, and this is, this will show how ignorant I am about how the internet works, but sometimes I wonder, like, because Wi-Fi hasn't been around that long, and I'm like, how does Wi-Fi affect our, like, senses and brain and stuff? Because, like, if electricity and, like, electric outlets can influence us, like, how does wireless internet existing around
Hive mind.
Us? Yeah. Right, yeah, we're all being downloaded.
All being downloaded. It's the Matrix.
Simulation.
Simulations all over. But they were just like, there weren't any attacks. I say attacks with quotations because I'm very skeptical of ghost attacks as well, because people are like, we'll just suddenly get scratches or something like that. I'm like, I am a very clumsy person. I have woken up from not remembering that I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night with a bruise on my leg, and I'm like, what happened? And I realize it's because I ran into the door.
I'm the same way. I don't know if I have any bruises on my legs right now, but, like, I will, people will be like, what happened? And I'm like, I don't know. I walked into something at work. I don't know.
I don't know. It could have been my cat hitting me.
Yeah.
Who knows? Or, like, the three scratch thing that's mocking the Holy Trinity, which I'm, like, very skeptical about, because at the same time, it's like,
yeah.
It's weird because it doesn't make sense if you look at it, because it's supposed to be mocking the Holy Trinity, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost of Christianity / Catholicism. But at the same time, they're like, ghosts aren't real.
Yeah.
So, what is it then? It's the demon. Well, that doesn't make sense either. So I'm like, why are demons are supposed to be trying to possess you? Why are they trying to beat you up? Is it like tenderizing meat so you can be married? That's it. I've cracked the code. Demons are trying to marinate us.
Yeah, they're just making us nice and tender.
Tender pork chops. That's it. We cracked the code.
If there was ever motivation for me to get in shape, it's because I don't want to, I want to be too tough for a demon to, they're like, oh, she's too tough.
Instead of that nice sirloin steak, it's like, I'm a foot. Or the cow tongue. Oh, we're not going there. That's a little much.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we draw the line. Not the graphic content of trigger warnings, but cow tongue.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else about the Pythian, because it's just had such a big history.
It really has. And like I said, like, I feel like it's, like, anything you can think of that would be creepy to have in a castle, it's had in there. Like, secret mm-hmm. societies, prisoners of wars, it orphanage. It had a morgue. Yeah, a morgue. Like,
I
like,
mean, with any, like, mm-hmm. old folks' home of that size, mm-hmm. or any institution of that size, you're going to have a morgue.
Yeah, but it's like, just, like, the recipe for anything that could be creepy to be inside of a castle mm-hmm. has been there.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I just remembered for the prisoner of wars part, there's mm-hmm. also this one specific room in the very back that they take you, and that you can sit down in the chair they actually used mm-hmm. to interrogate the prisoners of war. And I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But also what they found out and that they told the tour group is there's these little ringlets in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we discovered later on by a military man who said, yeah, those are used for chains.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
that was the room that I was okay. talking about earlier. That was the one that freaked me out the most. Cause
that, that one's mm-hmm. weird. Like,
it's
very, mm-hmm. when you get a group in there, it's mm-hmm. very tight quarter. It's yes. not, it's about mm-hmm. the size of this living room a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the same dimensions. So when you get a group of, like, 10 or so people in there, it gets kind of tight quarter, but also at the same time, they turn off the lights yeah. and they're like, who mm-hmm. knows German?
Yes.
And I'm mm-hmm. like, we're going to accidentally summon something.
And you're like, Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Yeah. That, no, when they turned off the lights in there, because I'm not particularly claustrophobic, but when they put us all in there and turned off the lights, like, my, like, chest was getting tight, and, like, mm-hmm. I was, like, that room stressed me out, just, and I don't mm-hmm. know if it was spiritual or if it was just situational, but, uh-huh. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's, like, in the dark, you can, it's weird because you, like, in your mind, you have physically noted where people are.
Mm-hmm.
And they close the lights, turn the lights off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's suddenly pitch dark because you're underground. Mm-hmm. This is the basement where it's about 10, 20 feet underneath.
At least, yeah.
At mm-hmm. least. The only windows are at the very tippy top. And the rooms that we were in did not have windows. A lot of mm-hmm. them did not.
Mm-hmm.
And that room in particular did not have... You could close... No, it didn't have a door, I don't think. I don't know. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. I gotta go back. It's getting to be the spoopy time, so mm-hmm. I gotta go back to that. But it's just, like, all of a sudden you're, like, unsure
mm-hmm.
of where everybody is, and you're like, nobody move.
That's totally how it feels, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's... I'm not sure if it is a spirit thing or a psychological thing, mm-hmm. but it's freaky.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. almost like a haunted... Like a... Not like a real haunted house, but like, you know, ones you go to during mm-hmm. Halloween time.
Yeah, and where you're on high alert. And
you're
like,
on high mm-hmm. alert. You're suspicious of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's out to get you. You yeah. just don't know who.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly how I felt in that room. It's freaky.
And I think because most people feel that's more of a psychological thing rather than the mm-hmm. spirit thing, just because of how people run in their mm-hmm. brains. Like, everybody has that fight or flight mm-hmm. thing. And you're in a dark place. With probably people that you don't know that well, unless mm-hmm. you're there with, like, a friend or two.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it's like, this is that situation every murder mystery, every mm-hmm. horror movie has prepared you for.
Yeah.
And you didn't avoid it. You willingly stepped right into it, and now
this is
you
true.
Have to just wait it out.
This is true. When I went on my, the ghost tour that I went on there, it was... It wasn't, like, on Halloween, but it was around Halloween time, mm-hmm. and nobody else was in costume. And, hey, maybe these people weren't in costume either, but there's two people there who were dressed and looked and had badges of Mulder and Scully from the X-Files.
Maybe they're not just that. Maybe they are FBI agents. Well,
but it was funny, because, like, they were totally in character the whole time. Like, the entire time the tour guide was talking, like, the guy who was Mulder was, like, sitting and, like, nodding and listening intently, and the lady who was supposed to be Scully, like, was sitting back with her arms crossed and rolling her eyes, you know? Like, they were totally, like, the in character the whole time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It was. I love cool. that so much. And, like, the one thing that's freaked me out the most wasn't even supernatural,
mm-hmm.
as it turns out. So my last tour there, we had this couple there that had been with us the entire time, and then we get to the little boy's room that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait, where did they go? And my first thought is, ghost! My second thought is, they getting it on in there somewhere! You nasties! Don't defile this place! Then I'm like, talking to the tour guide after, I'm like, where's that couple go? And I would, half of me expected to go, her to go, what couple?
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, no. Turns out they just left early because they had to go home to their kid.
Oh, come on. That's why you don't have kids, people.
That's why you don't have kids.
They interrupt ghost tours.
They interrupt ghost tours and freak everybody else out.
And if they die, they make horrifying ghosts.
Exactly. Or even if they don't, they just wake you up in the middle of the night going, Mommy, can I have some water? Mm-hmm. No, tiny devil child.
Yeah.
Get out of here. That's it for the Pythian. That's it.
Yeah, well, if you're ever in the Midwest, totally check it out.
Yeah, they have cool. an actual website where you can go look at the history tours that are done during the day and the ghost mm-hmm. tours. They have, like, different times. Mm-hmm. Several of them run during the day and in the weekends. Mm-hmm. And then they also have, like, the schedules for the murder mystery. I know they have, like, supernatural groups go there and do ghost hunts over night stays. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of expensive, but, yeah. mm-hmm. like, $50-$75 or so. I'm, like, in mm-hmm. that range. And I'm like, I want to go, but I also need to get my cat's food, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never gone to one of the overnight ones. I went to, what are they, there's like a local ghost hunting group that I can't think of the name of.
Yeah, but, I know who you're talking about.
I went on one of their things because it was free to go, or only like $15 or something, but it was mm-hmm. at, it was like up by St. Louis, and it was a haunted truck stop that we went on the ghost hunt at. I will say that while I was there, nothing spooky happened to me, but it was a creepy old building. And they said it was haunted because, like, it was open during, like, the 40s and 50s. And the story goes that, like truckers who were, like, driving across country would stop and, like, stay the night there a couple nights, on their trucker journey. And they would hire ladies of the night to come entertain them. And then they were like abusive trucker stereotype. And mm-hmm. they would like kill the prostitutes. And so it was supposedly haunted by prostitutes. So that was the story of that place.
Haunted by prostitutes. Mm-hmm. That sounds like it would be legit. I mean, there's lots of old-timey Western places out in the West that are supposedly mm-hmm. haunted by prostitutes, and I'm like, man, mm-hmm. that's gotta suck. You yeah. just try to make a buck, and now you're right. dead.
Yeah.
And you have to stay there and haunt this thing.
And the guy who killed you is probably going on to his next thing. He gets to go live a stupid guy life, and
you're like, I'm stuck in this ditch hole.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Man, that's whack. Hi, honey.
So, yeah, so what's the next chapter of this episode?
So, this next chapter that we will get to right after this quick break is about Ken McElroy. Do you know who that is?
Uh-uh. I don't. Oh! I'm intrigued.
He's from Skidmore, and you're about to learn a thing.
All
right. We'll be right back after this. Maybe. And we're back.
Hello.
That was a lovely little break to figure things out. Mm-hmm. So, before the break, I asked if you knew who Ken McElroy was.
I do not.
You're about to be learned something. Okay. So, he is from Skidmore, Missouri. Mm-hmm. I kind of chose local ones because I'm like, I haven't done anything like this before. Mm-hmm. This is our true crime portion.
Okay.
He was a resident of Skidmore, Nottoway County. I'm from Missouri. I don't know how to say this.
I don't think I know where Skidmore is, like, in relation to where
we're
at.
It's, like, super north.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, in, like, north of Kansas City, I want to say.
Okay.
All likelihood, it's probably not, but that's where I believe it to be.
Okay.
I just mm-hmm. know it's very north of here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, Kansas City south, Kansas City north,
yeah.
St. Louis north. Mm-hmm. Springfield is in, not the Boot Hill, but, like, the toe of the boot, I guess you could say?
Yeah. We're in the southwest corner.
Southwest corner. We're over by Joplin. We're over by Arkansas and Oklahoma, a.k.a. Flat, Missouri.
Yeah.
So, Ken Rex McElroy was born on June 1st, 1934, and died on July 10th, 1981. He was known as the town bully.
Of course.
His unsolved killing became the focus of international attention. Over the course of his life, McElroy was accused of dozens of felonies, including assault, child molestation, statutory rape, arson, hog and cattle rustling, and burglary.
He was just trying to wrestle a hog?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean...
Hog and rustling, not wrestling.
Oh, I thought you said... Okay, I thought you said wrestling. Like he's like... Wrestling. In a chuck hold or something, you know.
Sir, please let the hog go. We've talked about this.
Okay, rustling. Gotcha.
Rustling. And if you don't know what rustling is, it means stealing. Like old-timey Western, I'm gonna rustle me some cattle.
Yeah, he would steal the cattle and then, in theory, sell them to someone else for the money. And
yes. Yeah. Even if they were branded.
Yeah.
Which, I'm like, he just gave no fucks.
And we don't know, maybe he had to wrestle them to get them to go with him.
I gotta wrestle me this hog. Okay, if you've never seen a hog, I'm talking about hogs. Not the cute little mini pigs. These things are 6 foot long, about a, weighs a ton, they're terrifying. Yeah.
They're like the size of an adult human.
On all four legs.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. They're terrifying. We used to raise hogs. I used to live on a farm. We had hogs. We had to feed every morning at 3 o'clock. They sound like raptors. It was terrifying because if you didn't feed them fast enough, they would try to knock you over or nip at you. I'm like, they're not trying to nip at me to get me to go faster. They're nipping at me to and eat me.
Yeah, they're ready for
spoiler
dinner.
Alert, hogs are omnivores and they do eat people. Because they're awful and unsanitary, and I get why Jewish people don't eat them. I think that's kind of racist, but...
it's a fact that people who are Orthodox...
Jews don't eat pig.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
They're awful. So if you want to wrestle one...
That's...
That's on you.
Yeah.
If you get eaten because they decide they don't want to, that's on you. Because if they want to lay down and you're on the way... Goodbye.
Yeah.
There's no way it's stopping.
So, sorry. Didn't mean to derail the conversation about hogs.
No, that's fine. So, in all, he was indicted 21 times, but escaped conviction each time, except for the last time, in 1981. He was convicted of shooting and seriously injuring the town's 70-year-old grocer, Ernest Bo Bowenkamp. The previous year, he shot him point blank in the neck.
I mean, yeah.
Because his daughter had taken a piece of candy that Bo's wife told her to pay for.
Seems worth shooting someone in the neck about.
I know, right? It's like, oh my gosh. This is awful. So, that's just the glaze of the story.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get into the nitty gritty. So, McElroy is born in 1934, the 15th of 16 children.
Jeez.
Born to a poor migrant tenant farming couple named Tony and Mabel McElroy, who had moved from Kansas and the Ozarks before settling outside of Skidmore. He dropped out of school at the age of 15 in the 8th grade and quickly established a local reputation as a raccoon hunter, a cattle rustler, small-time thief, and womanizer.
Way to go, McElroy.
Yeah! Getting those ladies and those raccoons. That's a weird reputation to have. For more than two decades, McElroy was suspected of being involved in the theft of grain, gasoline, alcohol, antiques, and livestock. But he avoided conviction when charges were brought against him 21 times. Often after witnesses refused to testify because he allegedly intimidated them. Frequently by following his targets or parking outside their homes and watching them.
That's, I mean, he wasn't, he got caught a lot, it sounds like.
Like,
But then he would just intimidate people. These people
are like, I see you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, you don't. Just dragging the bag of grain behind it. That's my bag of grain. It has my literal name on it. He's like, no, I don't. You don't see nothing.
Mm-hmm. And then he'd intimidate them somehow.
Also, he was represented by Gallatin, Missouri defense attorney Richard Jean McFadden. Mm-hmm. He was a big mob lawyer from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So if he could get mob people off, mm-hmm. he could get anybody off.
Yeah, this raccoon hunter guy.
Them raccoons, man, look at you every time. So, McElroy fathered more than 10 children with different Jeez. Women. He met his last wife, Trina McLeod, when she was 12 years old and in 8th grade.
Yeesh.
She became pregnant when she was 14, dropped out of school in the 9th grade, and went to live with McElroy and his third wife, Alice.
That's not, it seems not very functional.
No. So, each marriage was very questionable, because mm-hmm. they overlapped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're all underage.
Yeah.
So a lot of them were like, I don't even think this is a legitimate marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is. So, McElroy divorced Alice and married Trina in order to escape charges of statutory rape.
Oh, okay. That's a great reason to get married.
And divorce. To which she was the only witness. So, people not familiar with it, if you're married to the person... Mm-hmm. that is being, charged with something, you don't have to testify because you're married to them. Mm-hmm. So if they, the prosecution's like, he did this to you, and you're like, no, he didn't, mm-hmm. and you're married to him, they can't call you to the witness stand.
Yeah.
So they can't use your spouse against you. I'm like, that seems very counterintuitive.
Well, and I feel like, this was what, in the 50s or 60s, probably?
This was in the 80s.
That was all the right way up in the
80s? Yeah, this is late 70s, 79, 81 mm-hmm. or so.
But even then, the laws weren't very progressive in favor of women, so they probably...
In favor of anyone. It doesn't matter if he was hurting you or hurting somebody.
Yeah, right?
Like, your husband just stole 10 head of cattle. I don't know. I don't want to testify. Yeah, you can't mm-hmm. make me. It's like, he just murdered 5 people. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. So, 16 days after Trina gave birth, both she and Alice fled to Trina's mother and stepfather's house.
Okay.
According to court records, McElroy tracked them down and brought them back. He then returned to Trina's parents' home when they were away, shot the family dog, and burned down the house.
Then why did you have to shoot the dog?
Because... why not? He's a witness!
The dog's like, I'll take the stand.
I got this.
Yeah.
I got this, guys. But later on, Trina actually recanted mm-hmm. everything and said, no, it was an electrical misfire mm-hmm. thing. We went willingly. Not that he,
threatened us.
Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's not like 16 days after I gave birth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I'm 17. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think she's 14.
14, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's an all-around good guy, is the picture you're painting.
We have painted the picture of Ken Rex McElroy. Mm-hmm. The famous man of Skidmore legend for hunting raccoons and womanizing. Mm-hmm. Jesus. So, based on Trina's story, McElroy was indicted in 1973 for arson, assault, and statutory rape. He was arrested, booked, arraigned, and released on $2,500 bail. Trina and her baby were both placed in foster care at a home. God. Your mom and you are now in foster care together.
Yeah. Because you're both still children.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
McElroy sat outside the foster home for hours at a time, staring, and told the foster family that he would trade girl for girl to get his child back, since he knew where the foster family's biological daughter went to school and what bus route she rode.
Wow.
Additional charges were filed against McElroy. But he got off.
Of course, like you do.
Like you do. On July 27, 1976, Skidmore farmer Romaine Henry said McKelvey shot him twice with a shotgun after Henry challenged him for shooting weapons on Henry's property. So, McKelvey decides, I'm gonna trespass. This is not my land. I don't give no fucks.
Yeah.
I'm gonna discharge my weapon. I'm gonna do what I want. Lo and behold, the landowner comes out like, hey, can you maybe just move along? Please don't be here. I don't like you. No one likes you. Please leave. No, I'm gonna shoot you on your own land. You tell me to leave. McKelvey was charged with assault with intent to kill. McKelvey denied he was at the scene. It wasn't me. Okay, Shaggy. The caveat camera wasn't me.
Other guy who trespasses and shoots people.
Exactly. It's not like I'm the only one that does this. As the case was dragged on without a court date, Henry said McKelvey had parked outside his home at least 100 times. At the trial, two raccoon hunters testified they were with McKelvey the day of the shooting away from Henry's property. Henry was forced to admit in court under questioning by McKelvey's attorney, Richard Jane McFadden, that he had concealed his own petty criminal conviction for more than 30 years previous.
So, what does that have to do with anything? Oh, okay. You're giving me a look like it all will be told.
Does that have to do with anything? McKelvey was acquitted, that's why! Of course! Like, he was doing something wrong, but what were you doing in 1983? Yeah. Like, try not to die because you're...
Right.
Your person over there kept shooting me.
On my own property.
On my own property! So... this is over the span of 50 years.
Yeah.
From him starting out as a lowly raccoon hunter and womanizer.
On to greater, grander
things. Where it's like, I'm pretty sure you need to stop. Mm-hmm. Please stop. The law could not do anything. No one could get his charge to stick. Mm-hmm. Nothing could be done. And it's like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Tell you what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. In 1980, one of McKelvey's children got into an argument with a clerk, Evelyn Summey, in a local grocery store owned by 70-year-old Ernest Bo Bowenkamp and his wife, Lois. Allegedly, because younger McKelvey child tried to steal some candy. Hey, can you put that back? Fuck you, no. I do what I want. Like, you want entitlement? This is entitlement. It's not throwing a fit because your mom won't buy you a Ferrari or something. Mm-hmm. This is, you give me this piece of candy or my dad's going to kill you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Literally. McKelvey began stalking the Bowenkamp family and eventually threatened Bowenkamp in the back of a store with a shotgun in hand. In the ensuing confrontation, McKelvey shot Bowenkamp in the neck.
Jeez.
Bowenkamp survived.
Okay.
And McKelvey was arrested and charged with attempted murder. McKelvey was convicted at the trial of assault, but freed on bail pending his appeal.
How did he have all this money for bail?
He stole everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
Like, where is he getting all this? What, oh.
All the things that he's not going to jail for.
Yeah. And cattle. Mm-hmm. All the other things he's doing. So instead of attempted murder, he just got assault, which is like a lot less. Mm-hmm. And immediately after being released at a post-trial hearing, McKelvey went to the D&G Tavern, a local bar, with an M1 Garand rifle with a bayonet attached. As you do.
I never go to the bar without my bayonet.
I need my bayonet! And made graphic threats about what he would do to Mr. Bowenkamp. So not only did the guy that shot you in the neck get off on just an assault charge, he's at the local bar with his bayonet saying he's gonna kill you and do other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, why? How did it get this far? Nothing can be done. Mm-hmm. This led to several patrons deciding to see what they could do legally to prevent McIlroy from harming anyone else. Nottoway County Sheriff Dan Estes suggested they form a neighborhood watch. So, you got someone stealing your child? You got someone stealing your hogs? Just make sure we put it, keep an eye out, you know?
And it's not, like, I think what's especially funny, it's like, it's not like they don't know who's doing it. They know who's doing it. He's not getting convicted. So the watch is just going to be like, yep, he's doing the thing we know he does.
Like, we're seeing him, but if we approach him, he's going to shoot us.
Yeah.
And he's going to get off on shooting us, too. And
yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
This is where we're at.
But we'll be sure to watch out for him.
When we weren't already.
Yeah.
So, at this point, everyone is super frustrated because they're like, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is how it's going to be. The sheriff won't do anything. The prosecutor won't do anything. No one of the law will do anything. Mm-hmm. So, thus, the morning of July 10th dawns. McIlroy's appeal hearing was once again delayed. Townspeople met at the Legion Hall in the center of town with Sheriff Estes to discuss how to protect themselves. During the meeting, McIlroy arrived at his favorite spot at the D&G Tavern mm-hmm. with Trina. As he sat drinking at the bar, word got back to the men at the Legion Hall that he was in town. Sheriff Estes instructed the assembled group not to get into direct confrontation. Now, don't go off and get in a confrontation with him. Don't talk to him. Don't look at him. Just go on by and he'll leave you alone. Mm-hmm. I call bullshit on that, but okay.
It's like a, what is it? A shark? Not a shark. I don't know. What is it? The animal that, like, if you don't make eye contact with it, it won't attack you?
Ooh.
A rabid dog or something? No?
I don't know. I know that's, like, a dog thing where you don't, like, smile at
yeah,
them if they're, like,
because they think you're angry. Yeah. Basically, just treat them like an animal.
Don't make eye contact.
Don't do anything to stir them up.
Don't do anything. Just lay low to the ground and scuttle
yeah.
past. So, what happens? He instead seriously considered forming a neighborhood watch program. He's pushing that neighborhood mm-hmm. watch program. Like, this will work. This is it. Mm-hmm. We got it. Estes then drove out of town in his police cruiser. He knew what was going to happen. He's like, I gotta go. The citizens decided to go to the tavern en masse. Mm-hmm. The bar soon filled completely. Mm-hmm. After McIlroy finished his drinks, he purchased a 6-pack of beer, left the bar, and entered his pickup truck. Mm-hmm. People began to surround him. Mm-hmm. His wife was in the truck with them, and no one knows who did it first, mm-hmm. but someone shot at McIlroy while he was sitting in the truck. He was then shot at several times and hit twice, mm-hmm. once by a centerfire rifle and once by a .22 rim fire rifle. Mm-hmm. In all, there were 46 potential witnesses to the shooting, mm-hmm. including Trina McIlroy, mm-hmm. who was in the truck with her husband when he was shot. Mm-hmm. No one called for an ambulance.
I mean, I feel like Trina was like, oops. You know.
Actually, she was very upset.
Oh, she was? Okay.
Yeah. Only Trina claimed to identify a gunman. Every other witness was unable to name an assailant or claim to have seen who fired the fatal shots. Mm-hmm. The DA declined to press charges. An extensive federal investigation did not lead to any charges. Mm-hmm. McIlroy was buried at Memorial Park Cemetery in St. Joseph, Missouri. Mm-hmm. On July 9th, 1984, Trina McIlroy filed a $6 million wrongful death lawsuit against the town of Skidmore, County of Nottoway, Sheriff Danny Estes, Steve Peters, the Morris Skidmore, and Del Clement, whom Trina accused of being the shooter, but who was never charged.
Man.
The case was later settled out of court by all parties for the sum of $17,600, with no one admitting guilt mm-hmm. for the stated reason of avoiding costly legal fees should the suit proceed.
Do you think that Trina had, like, Stockholm Syndrome with this guy?
Oh, yeah. It's like, she was not his only wife. He had several. And they all were like, oh, he was such a good guy.
Even though he was bringing home pregnant 14-year-olds that he knocked out.
Yeah.
Up. Yeah.
Because they were the pregnant 14-year-olds.
At one point in time, yeah.
Basically, it's along the same lines as an unfortunate part of women who are in abusive relationships cover for their abusive partners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's basically what was happening here. Trina then remarried and moved to Lebanon, Missouri, where she died of cancer on her 55th birthday on January 24th, 2012. Bummer, but at least you're not with Ken anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
that's wild.
It's wild. Yeah, like, it's a big deal. Like, to have no one be convicted. Like, how big of a jerk do you have to be that a whole town just goes, you need to stop?
Yeah, they all, instead of agreeing to a neighborhood watch, they agree to a neighborhood
murder.
Murder, yeah.
Like, it's literally murder. It's vigilante justice. But in this case, I'm gonna say it's warranted.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, it sounded like, to some degree, he had wronged everyone in the community, whether he robbed from them, or hurt them, or something.
Took the children?
Wrestled their cows.
Yeah, it's like, at what point do you step in and do something more drastic? Like, obviously, the sheriff who oversees the county is like, maybe a neighborhood watch would work.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, now I wonder, though, if he knew what was going to happen. Because
he left.
Yeah, if he was like, neighborhood watch, wink, wink, and then, like, left.
Nudge, nudge, say no more, say no more.
And they were like, neighborhood watch, we got it.
We got it. We'll do a neighborhood watch. We're going to watch his ass.
Yeah.
En masse, because then we're going to just go over to the bar and just stare at him with his bayonet.
Yeah.
He can't outdo us all.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was a bad dude. Like, he was top tier, evil
villain. Yeah, shitty dude. Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure I would take Loki from the Avengers over him. Like, he's he killed, like, several people in the same day, but he didn't get away with it, though.
Yeah, I think that was the thing, is, like, he kept not getting away with it. Like, and I don't know if it's because he had that mob lawyer or what, but
I think it was a combination of him being intimidating, because he was a big old dude. He is, like, 6'4", and nearly 300 pounds. He's a big old boy.
Yeah.
And, like, you see that outside, and you're in his car, just sitting there in the dark, flashing his headlights, like, get it!
Yeah,
go away! I'm trying to sleep!
Yeah.
But he would also discharge his rifle around the houses, too, and just be like, okay, I'm going to shoot you if you don't do it. And the first time he did it, people were like, he's not going to do anything. He's just sitting there intimidating you. And the first person, he was like, get out of here, he's probably pointed his gun at him and shot him. Because it's like, nothing stopped him.
Yeah.
He just did what he did.
Yeah. I don't know, that's crazy. Like I listen to a lot of true crime, and usually you feel, like, some sympathy for the victim, but I don't really feel too much sympathy. I definitely sympathize with the neighborhood watch people. The neighborhood watch party.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, or sometimes you can kind of see where the quote-unquote bad guy of the true crime is coming from. Like, you can not so much sympathize, but you understand what he's
their
doing.
Their motive.
Yeah. Or their pattern and stuff. And he's just,
he's just a bad dude.
He's just a bad dude wanting to be bad.
Yeah.
Like, he was literally every stereotype of a bad guy roll into one. No tragic backstory. He just wanted to do what he wanted to do. Like, everyone wants to do that, but we don't, because we're decent people. That's why you got shot, Ken. That's why you're dead. But he's got, like, can you imagine growing up, like, this is your dad, and you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know him.
I know. Well, it makes me wonder, because, like, I mean, I was born in 89, so mm-hmm. if he was having kids in the 80s, like, they wouldn't be too much older than we are.
Exactly.
You know, so I wonder if, and if it's in Missouri, like, it makes me wonder if they're, like, around, you know?
Yeah, well, his, they know for sure his ex-wife, Trina, mm-hmm. well, not really ex-wife, widow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trina moved to Lebanon, and that's not far from here. Like, I know people in Lebanon, I know people upstate. It's like...
And she only died, like, what, 5 years ago or something?
Yeah, like, 2012.
Okay, so seven years ago? Mm-hmm.
That's math, yeah.
What? This isn't a math podcast.
This is not a math podcast. This is why I said I don't know what $1 in 1909 means today in 2019. It could be $100. I don't know. But 53 acres of land, let me tell you, that's a lot for a dollar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Either way.
Yeah.
But it's like, because my sister, my oldest sister, she mm-hmm. was born in 81.
Mm-hmm.
Right before he died. I'm like, that puts it into perspective. I'm like, they're not that much older.
Yeah, yeah. So his kids would be like, around, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're probably like, we don't know who that is.
Yeah, they changed their last name.
Change their last name, pretend they don't know, hopefully move down the state, so they're just like, mm-hmm. bye!
Mm-hmm.
I don't know you.
The whole town definitely didn't band together to kill my dad.
My dad totally was not the evil villain of the story. Mm-hmm. Or of every story, almost.
Yeah.
It's like Stranger Danger put...
But not a stranger. Everybody knew who he was.
Exactly. It's like Stranger Danger, but flipped. Like, beware the people you do know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is very true, but not the point of the... It is. I don't know where I'm going. I'm rambling.
There's not really a moral.
There's just, not a moral to the story other than don't be a jerk and steal children and hogs.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Or Gray.
If you learn nothing else today.
You learn nothing else. Don't wrestle hogs, don't rustle cattle, and don't steal children.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. That about does it for this podcast.
Yeah.
That was a doozy. Like... I research everything before I put it on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it doesn't hit until I read it aloud.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm like, is this real?
Yeah.
Was this actually a thing and not a fever dream? That's what it feels like mm-hmm. sometimes. Like,
I
don't know if anybody has seen this, but the documentary on Netflix, like... Taken in Plain Sight or something like that.
Ooh, yeah. It went so weird. Mm-hmm.
I died.
Like,
it's a true story. It's not a parody. But it feels like one.
Right, yeah.
It's, like, so extravagant and amazing. I'll have to talk about it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't have laughed so hard as I did. But, at the same time, it's... ridiculous.
I don't know if I laughed at it, but, like, it was definitely, like, I listen to a lot of true crime and, like, read true crime, but, and then that one, like, there was a certain point while watching that, like, I just had to stop and, like, take a mental break because it was so bizarre.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't laughing because I'm like, this is hysterical, this is the funniest stuff ever. It's like one of those things where you're just like, you don't know how to process this, so you're just laughing.
Yeah.
Because it's just bizarre and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And amazing, but also at the same time, this really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I processed it. I was dying, literally, on the phone with my friend halfway through. I had to stop halfway through because I couldn't breathe from laughing so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, it's about child abduction and child marriage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not laughing matters.
Yeah, but the way he goes about it is...
The way he goes about it,
bonkers.
Though,
yeah.
It's... insane. It's like, it's almost like fan fiction.
I could see that like, parallel, yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
14-year-old writing a fanfic.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. They don't know that they shouldn't be writing about this.
Uh-huh.
This is really heavy stuff. And no, you should not be in love with that 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
But somehow, some way, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's another podcast for another day, but I had to delve into that real quick.
Yeah. Because
sometimes true crime is just bonkers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, we did Ed Gein once, and he murdered two women, but it was fucking nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Nipple belt. Like, that's what got me.
Nipple belt.
Nipple belt. Not a belt for your nipples, it's a belt made of nipples. It's
a belt, like, would that go around the nipple if it was a belt for your nipple? Or would it go, like, across your chest? I'm pretty sure they have
those belts already. Okay, yeah. It's called bondage belts.
Good times.
I need to go lay down. So that about does it for this podcast. Do you have anything you want to promote and you're in, Rachel?
Yeah, okay. So I do once a week semi-professional thumb wrestling.
What?
If you look up National Digit Wrestling Association on Facebook, the NDWA, it's just me and a bunch of friends. It's all the spectacle and costumes of wrestling, but thumb wrestling.
That's amazing.
So yeah, check it out. That's what I would say.
I learned something new today, and it's amazing.
It's, you know, after you watch that documentary and you need to detox your brain, watch some thumb wrestling.
Watch some thumb wrestling.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. I'm glad you came over on the show. Hopefully we can have you on again.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be awesome. All right, guys, that does it for here. We have our Facebook now up, 3Spoopy5Me Podcast. Go check it out on Facebook. We have our email you can hit us up at 3Spoopy5MePodcast@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions for future podcasts or you just want any shout-outs or have anything you want us to advertise for you, just let us know. Meantime, stay spoopy! Ooh.